Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender, and today's podcast is sponsored by Fulcrum Technologies. Fulcrum Tech is a video software editing system similar to or comparable to Sports Code or Exos Tech. A major benefit, though, is you can do it for a fraction of the cost, and it's the cheapest video software on the market. Visit fulcrumtech.com. That's no H in Fulcrum Tech. For more information. Also, if you're not already a member and are interested in joining the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit risingcoaches.com to sign up today. You will build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content and resources that will allow you to master your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that you won't see posted anywhere else. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com. All right, today's special guest is Coach Corey Black. He is currently the AD and head men's basketball coach at St. Ann Pacelli Catholic School in Columbus, Georgia. He's also the owner of CB Hoops and co-director of JucoReport.com. Coach, I'm exhausted reading that right there. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, doing good, bro. How you doing, man? Appreciate you having me on.
No problem. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're an extremely busy man. You got all these titles. You got 10 different titles on to your name. You know, tell me a little bit about how you earned all these titles. Like, give us a little background on yourself, a little bit. Why are you on this podcast, man? How did you get to this point?
I don't know how I got on this podcast. Maybe I ran out of food. Not sure, man. I had a journeyman originally from Tifton, Georgia. Went to Tifton County High School. Had one opportunity out of high school, and that was go to Southern Union in Wiley, Alabama. Went to Southern Union at 5'9", two guard, that ran cross country. So I ran cross country at Southern Union, thought I was going to make the basketball team. It never happened. But the coach, I was grateful for Coach Radford. He gave me opportunity just to be a team manager and helping coach. I did that for 2 years, and we won two state championships over at Southern Union. And I got blessed to go to Columbus State and do the same thing, run cross country and help Columbus State and get my start in the coaching. And I started at Columbus State from the bottom, moved up. From the video to the student assistant to the top assistant at Columbus State, and coached at Columbus State for about 6 years. Did that, and I had a vision of, you know, want to do showcases and running my own thing and just trying to help more kids. So when I was at Columbus State, we recruit your 12 to 15 kids, that's all you got. I had a vision of wanting to recruit hundreds of kids and help them and let them find places to go to play at. So I decided to do CB Hoops and start doing my junior college jamborees. Just did my first JUCO jamboree in 2008. Had 8 teams at Columbus State. And I just been building my JUCO jamborees and CB Hoops, holding unsigned showcases and just building it. And I kept doing it, and I done built it up. And I got back into high school and did some discipline stuff on the education side. And 5 years ago, I came back over here. They hired me at Pacelli to coach basketball. I just wanted to do it on the side and did it, and I became the AD over here. So that's where I'm at now, still running CB Hoops, doing JUCO Report, and being athletic director here at St. Ann Pacelli.
Sounds like a busy man. Love the journey and the path that you've taken. You know, what are you working on this week? I know you've got a lot of things going on. I know, you know, we're coming to your jamboree this weekend at Southwest Mississippi Community College. So tell me about how you go about building a jamboree. How do you get these prep schools in there? How do you choose the teams? You know, how do you determine JUCO's scheduling? Like, how does it all go down? Give me the behind the scenes look.
It's crazy, Brian. And I tell you, I got a little behind this year on it. I was so busy here doing my AD duties here at Pacelli that I looked up. It was August, September, and I was like, oh, I got to get this jamboree. I got to get a facility. I got to figure out where I want to do it. I had it at Lake Point 2 years ago, a year ago, we didn't have a jamboree. And it was really big, had a lot of teams, had men and women, had 100 teams. It was really good event, big event, really good. So many courts are so big, you know, the college coaches can't get that many folks, you know. But my dream was always to have these jamborees on the Division II campuses, JUCO campuses, where those campuses don't get a lot of love. So I always wanted to do one at West Georgia. So I contacted West Georgia. We made it happen. They got a really nice facility. And when it comes to getting teams, I just send out texts, send out emails, invite coaches. And I turned a lot away. And I tried to let, you know, and that's when I got 38 teams coming. So I got my right-hand man is Daniel Bowles. He does all the scheduling. He's a beast. Got Chris Watkins also helping me with some logistics stuff. So we got a little three-man team right here to just try to keep it all together. We all teach, too, every day. So we're not like some people where all they can do is just focus on the JUCO Jamboree. I got a JUCO Jamboree email I need to send right now to some folks that ain't handled their business yet. But we do it as a little three-man team, and it works out. It goes pretty good.
That's awesome. Well, we're excited to get there this weekend and compete, and you gave us a really good schedule. So I'm excited about it to showcase our guys and do different things. Now, you also mentioned, you know, your JUCOReport.com, and it has like a scouting service part to it. You know, how do you go about gaining respect and credibility? And, you know, you've mastered your craft in different ways, but how do you continue to keep that respect up? And what makes your JUCOReport.com different or more unique compared to other services?
I think on the JUCO Report side, we don't chase all the high major JUCO players. I think we stay in our lane, and our niche is helping those lower level kids, the low major, mid major, Division II, NAIA. Those kids are the ones that really need the help. We got a lot of people out there that, and the people that's trying to help the high majors, those kids don't need no help. Those kids don't get recruited anyway. So what we try to do, we try to just provide a platform for those kids, those mid-level kids, mid-level, low major, Division II, NAIA, and try to create platforms for them to get a little love too.
Definitely. That's awesome. With the, you know, the mid-major, like we're at Southwest Mississippi Community College, and we've done a really good job of getting guys to the next level. However, we only get three out-of-state players. And so we're, in essence, like a mid-major type JUCO. Alabama doesn't have the housing. Georgia, you know, has different funding and different spectrums of it as well. And so, you know, we're not Florida. We're not Texas. We're not Kansas, where we're, quote-unquote, fully funded. But we need guys like you to help promote, you know, the mid-major type JUCOs that know what they're doing. But we got a lot of low and mid-major type kids and D2 kids that need your help. So we appreciate that for sure. You've been involved, and you said at the beginning, like, one of the reasons why you started what you're doing is because you care about the mass quantity of those guys that need help. Having been on both sides of it, you know, having coached, having recruited, having been in the Jamborees, the prep side, the JUCO side, what is it that you've seen recruiters do that you are like mistakes that they commonly make that they may not be aware of? And then on the other side of it, what are some of the things that you've seen in recruiting that you're like, more people need to be doing this? And hey, with that, like, hey, who are some guys that you've kind of noticed that are big time recruiters that are at the, not the high major level that are on ESPN and five stars, but guys that can really evaluate? What have you kind of seen from a recruiting standpoint?
Yeah, I think a couple of things recruiters, some of them never figure out who has the juice when they're recruiting. I think they recruit a kid, and they never figure out who's got the juice with that kid, who controlling that kid. They'll talk to this person, they'll talk to that person, they'll talk to the college, they'll talk to the college school, they'll talk to the auntie, they'll talk to the grandmother. And at the end of the day, the dad might have had the juice, and some coaches never figure out that the dad had the juice. So I think that's one mistake they do. I think when it comes to recruiters recruiting the coaches, recruiting kids to the coaches, I don't think that some recruiters build those authentic relationships like they should. I think some coaches only call coaches when they need something. You may not have a player that can play at a mid-major school this year, but that don't mean that mid-major coach shouldn't reach out to Coach Bender and say, hey, how you doing? Everything going good? Because the next year you may have one, and it's going to be hard for that coach to call you and say, I want to talk. Well, I ain't talked to you in 2 years, coach, since you took my player. You know, so I just think coaches got to do a better job of figuring out who got the juice, and also just building those relationships when I just don't need to call coach when he got a player.
What about from the
some of the Say that again, Coach.
What about from like the positive side? What are some things, major strengths that you've seen, or people that do things that are unique, like outside the box? You're like, that guy really knows what he's doing. What are some things that that guy's doing?
I see guys write letters still. It's very rare that people still like to pick up the pen, write a letter, put it in the mailbox. You know, nothing like that. Nothing's like getting a letter from someone that somebody had to take the time, write that note, put it in the mail, put a stamp on it. Hey, bye. You know, people don't like doing that, but it's some guys out there that does a really good job of that still. And some guys out there that make sure they make their contacts. They go see them play. They call that player, you know, every other week. Send them a text every day. It's some guys out there that do a really good job of communicating and building that relationship.
If you could plug a couple guys, you know, that aren't those high-level guys, who have you seen as just like an elite recruiter?
I tell you, elite recruiter, that's not high major. I think Russ Williamson at Tennessee State does a really good job of recruiting. I think he does a good job. I think Cabrel Huff, that coaches at the NAIA, I think he does a really good job of recruiting. Tim Kaine at Murray State, I think he does a really good job of recruiting. Those are the names. There's tons out there. Those three names come to me off the top, not even thinking about it. Those guys do a really good job of recruiting.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know all three of those guys personally. Tim actually texted me today, this morning. Russ was a plug to hire the assistant that I just hired, Darius Tomlin. And Russ used to always hit me for play calls. If you ever in the same league with Russ, he used to always call you. When I was at App State, he was at South Alabama. Russ would pick up the phone and be like, Coach, you got play calls on Louisiana Lafayette? Coach, you got play calls on Georgia State? You got – and because he was such a diligent scouter. So right. I haven't really – he's recruited a little bit, but not anybody that he's, like, gone after hard. And so it's kind of unique to hear. He does the same thing in scouting. He's a very diligent worker. And, of course, he's a Rising Coaches member. And Coach Huff, obviously, like, he's bounced around to a couple different places and things. But he's – glad he's a head coach at that level, and I know you guys are very close. So way to plug him. That's awesome. He doesn't need it, though. I don't know if he needs it.
I know it. He's rolling.
Good. So you're a busy, very busy man in coaching. One of the things, especially the higher you go up in terms of being a head coach or changing that title, your time management skills have to increase because there's thousands of things that come across your desk every day. And, you know, even tonight, like, you had a parent in your office or on the phone. Like, how do you manage all this stuff? How do you manage your time? What things do you do daily to maximize your time, get more time, prioritize those types of things?
Well, I think the first thing I do, I try to wake up really early. I try to wake up at 4 a.m., 3 o'clock, sometimes 3 a.m., 4 o'clock. I got to get a head start on some of these guys, you know, because I got so many moving pieces. So for me, being an athletic director, also being a basketball coach, we work out every morning at 7 a.m. So I need to wake up at 4 a.m. I need to get a workout in. I need to get my devotional in. I need to do all those things to get my mind ready to win the day. I need to send out some early emails so people have them right when they get up. Send out some early texts. I text really early too. So I try to work ahead in the day, you know, because, you know, 6 a.m., 25% of the day is already over with. So if I'm waking up at 6 a.m., I got 75% rest of the day to get some work done. So I try to wake up earlier. I try to just map my day out and just build my little task list and just cross them off. And I try to go to sleep when I'm done, you know, at least take a nap anyway. I don't try to sleep. I don't sleep a whole lot, but take a nap and get back up and let's get to it.
Love the grind. They say, a lot of people say that word grind, but if you love what you're doing, I don't know if it's really truly a grind. And I know you're a passionate guy about that.
Yeah. I think people say it's an overused word. I'm not sure if it's an overused word or not, but you know, I think grinding is a okay word, you know. I've been grinding all day.
Yep,
whatever that means, but I'm having fun doing it, so it's not a bad word to me.
Yep, they don't even know what time we're doing this podcast, so who knows? Hey, One of the things I've learned working with different leadership coaches and reading and things, going along with that time management piece, is being present, being where your feet are, you know, not being distracted by things on your phone or different things. How have you found, when you have so many things to do, to give, you know, a parent that attention, a kid that attention, your family an attention? Like, how do you stay present?
Well, I just, you know, yeah, you have to put the phone down. Like, I just had a meeting and I had to go in there with the parent and I'm thinking about this. I'm like, I gotta get on this podcast. But I had to just put my phone down, focus on that. Get home, I got a 12-year-old daughter. I need to put my phone down, focus on her. You know, I just try to, you know, just whatever, wherever I'm at, whatever my mind is, I just try to focus on and try not to have distractions. You know, with these phones, it's hard. It's hard not to get distracted with phones nowadays. You know, this thing right here constantly rings, especially on a week like this week. hosting one of the best JUCO jamborees in the country, this phone rings all day. So it's just all about being focused and just and staying in tune and with every test that I'm trying to knock down.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, you mentioned your daughter, like, that's, you know, the ultimate thing. I just became a parent in the last year and it's been a blast, but trying to be present when you're home and breaking up that day and, you know, the few hours that you do get with them to try and make the greatest impact. You being an AD, so this is a Rising Coaches podcast. We do have a Rising AD deal as well. You know, walk us through, like, hiring a coach. You know, what do you kind of value most, and what are some of your favorite questions in the interview process when hiring a coach? And I mean, you're relatively new AD, but I don't know how many head coaches you've been able to hire. But, you know, walk me through that.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I've hired a football coach. I hired a baseball coach. I hired a volleyball coach. I hired a soccer coach. I've tried to revamp our whole athletics program. What I look for is people that's really passionate about helping student athletes just become a better person. You know, it's not even about the wins for me. It's about making sure we're equipping them with all the tools they need to be successful in life. You know, and where I'm sitting at in this situation at Pacelli, we're not going to win a whole lot of championships. So we got to win a bunch of championships in life. You know, I hired a baseball coach, and one thing about me, I'm not afraid to hire really good coaches. My baseball coach is a Hall of Famer. He won over 1,000 baseball games, won 15 state championships. And people are like, you gonna hire him? Yeah, I'm gonna hire him because one, he's a winner. He's hard nosed. He take care of kids. He's connected to everyone. So I hired him. He coached Frank Thomas in high school. Really good guy named Bobby Howard. And you know, he's passionate. That's probably my main thing when I'm looking at hiring folks. Are they passionate about it? Are they really passionate? Do they look for this as just another job? Because if you look at it as a job, it's not going to work with me because I'm high energy. I'm here all day. I work at it. I'm going to get up early. So I try to find coaches that's just like that. My football coach, he's a 30-year vet. Won a lot of games, just an old school football coach. I get here this morning, 6 a.m. I say, Coach, he taking a nap. I say, Coach, what's wrong? I say, Coach, I got here at 4:30. I beat you. So, you know, that's his passion. Got a volleyball coach, really passionate. So it's all about passion is what I look for. And I just talk to him when I'm trying to figure out who I want leading our program. That's the main thing. Are they passionate to lead our kids? Do they have the tools to build them, the student athletes, so when they leave here, they're ready for the world?
Yeah, passionate, and they have that passion that just fuels them every single day, and competent as well. So yeah. You've done a good job in hitting those two, check those two boxes. So having been a head coach, having now been an AD, what do ADs wish coaches would know? And what do coaches wish that ADs would know? Or what have you kind of found that Like, now that you're an AD, you're like, oh, crap, when I was a coach, I didn't even realize this. And then now that you're an AD, what do you wish your coaches were paying attention to that they may not be?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. The young, you know, especially for young coaches, I pay attention to details. Pay attention to details. Pay attention to take care of your stuff. Take care of your facilities. That's your home. Take care of your players. Those are your kids. As an AD, I mean, as a coach, well, on the AD side, I would say that when you look for the coach, I would say probably stay out their programs, ADs, letting them run their program. Like, I don't get into programs. I let coaches coach. When I hire a coach to lead the program, I let them lead it. I don't do parent meetings. I don't do, no, unless it really, really bad, I step in, but I'm not coming to your practices. If I'm coming to your practices, I'm coming there to really see how you do things. I'm trying to learn something from my coaches. So from a coach to AD, ADs, let them lead it, let them run it, stay out of it, and let them grow and learn. That's the main thing.
Yeah, growth is huge. Growth is huge. And having your coaches back, you know, as an AD, that's always the most important thing. And I didn't think about the facility part, but when you – it's your baby. Your players are your baby.
Your players are your baby.
Your gym is your baby. Your locker room is your baby. Take care of it.
Take care of your own
and have some pride and ownership in it. That's awesome. Yeah. So if anyone that knows you, you could tell already you're a passionate guy and they know you. And I know you're a part of, and it holds true to your heart, you know, a couple organizations, the Minority Coaches Association of Georgia, the Embraces organization you're one of the founding members of. Talk to us a little bit about that, and especially over the last couple of years, of why you find that so important. And, you know, what would you tell a guy like myself, who's a JUCO coach in Mississippi, who obviously is I'm a white guy. What would you tell me? What would you advise me on, you know, going through what our country's going through? And, you know, it's not talked about as much as it was a year and a half ago, but, you know, how do we continue that trending in the right direction?
Yeah, I'm a Minority Coaches of Georgia, just an organization with, and you use the word minority, but we got all coaches, black, white, Indian, whatever. We got all kind of coaches in there, just Minority Coaches of Georgia. So that organization, and Embrace Us, which is loaded with all people. Brian, I think the first thing we got to do, and you just hit it on the head, we got to keep the conversation going. We got to keep the conversation going about the things that's going on. Nobody wants to do it because COVID's still here, even though everybody acting like it's not. But COVID is still here. But when COVID had stopped, when COVID stopped us, everybody wanted to talk about all the stuff going on. Now everybody back to work, everybody back playing games, you don't hear anything about it. And I think that's one of the problems is until something else happens, we have a big crazy, somebody get shot, somebody get killed. That's when everybody come back in a big uproar. Instead of us trying to figure out ways right now to keep that conversation going and keep trying to merge everybody and connect everybody to just try to get over the hump. And, I think that's why Embrace Us, Rising Coaches, all those are really good things because it involves everyone. It involves all races. I just think we all got to just continue to keep thriving and keep the conversation going on some of the issues we got going on in this world.
For sure. Very important. And, you know, Rising Coaches, we have our DEI Alliance that is passionate, especially, you know, for our CEO, Adam Gordon. He talks about it all the time. We meet constantly, and he's always bringing that up of how important it is to the core values of, you know, our organization, Rising Coaches, you know, the development piece, but the community and the relationship aspect, you know, bringing everybody together, being one family, having each other's back. I think that's powerful, and we can't forget about it. So, you know, kind of in conclusion here, you know, what's kind of the end goal for Corey Black? What are we going to see? You know, what other 1,000 titles are you going to be wearing here in the next decade? You know, what's kind of the end goal? I know you really enjoyed what you're doing, and I know you enjoy being head coach and AD You know, how do you continue to grow and develop? You said watching practices and things, being on podcasts, stuff like that. But, you know, how do you keep it going and how do you not burn out, you know, working nonstop?
Yeah, you don't burn out because the way you don't burn out is remember your passion. Remember why you're doing it. You always have to go back to that. You know, you always have to look over there to why. And that's what's going to keep you going, your why. You're not going to burn out. You got a why. I got one. So I'm not worried about burning out. What's next? Man, I don't know, man. I love what I'm doing right now. You know, I don't know, man. I just keep building what I'm building here at St. Amatella. Keep trying to make the CB Hoops, JUCO reports of me. And just try to keep helping more kids. Because one thing I have noticed is that kids keep coming. This cycle of kids keep coming. It's going to be another graduating class. It's going to be more JUCO kids. It ain't like it just stop. It just keeps going and keep trying to find ways to get creative to help them because we're in different recruiting times now. So you gotta do something different, man. I'm so fired up to have that JUCO Jamboree prep team Jamboree coming back this weekend to give our kids an opportunity to play in front of coaches, man. To give them an opportunity. That's what keeps me going is these kids have an opportunity to get to the next level.
You know, we need more people like you, man. If anyone could say, like, a lot of people are like, oh, let me know how I can help. That's like a favorite yeah. line in coaching. Like, yeah. if someone were to genuinely ask you that, what would you say? Like, how can we help? Maybe someone just listened to this podcast, didn't know who Corey Black was, you know, looked you up, found you on Twitter, whatnot. How can we help you? What is it that you need? You know, so you don't have to work around the clock as much. I know you're passionate, you love it, but what can we do to help you or how can we help grow what you're doing and other things and, you know, all the stuff that you do that makes such a huge impact on not the little guys, but the guys that need help. Like, how can we help you? Like, how can we help you?
Yeah, man, I think just keep spreading the word. Spread the word about the events. Tell coaches about the JUCO Jamboree. Let them know, like, hey, Coach Corey Black having a Jamboree, got 38 teams over there. Because you'd be amazed of how many coaches at the event will say, I didn't know anything about that. And you'd be like, really? You didn't know about that Jamboree? So just spread the word. Spread the word about events. Because when you spread the word about events, that means more coaches coming out. That means more teams participating. That means more players getting looks. That means more kids having the chance to get to the next level to help themselves and their families and just have a really good life.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you. Any last closing words or remarks for the Rising Coaches people?
Oh, man, I appreciate everything Rising Coaches is doing. Really a wonderful organization. I joined it probably 2-3 months ago, man. It's so much stuff on there, man. It's still one of the best kept secrets out there. People need to get on this Rising Coaches podcast and join it. Get on it. Really great people running it, man. I appreciate everything you do. Brian, I tell you this before I leave now. JUCO coach, you need to do a clinic on organization. You are the most organized JUCO coaches I ever seen. Some folks need to take some notes from you. I really appreciate how organized you is, and that's a really undervalued trait that you probably don't get enough credit for. But and your graphics and how you just have did your whole program. It's really, really special, Brian. So keep up the good work on that, man, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, cut from the same cloth. You got to work for our people. At the end of the day, if you make it easy for your kids to get recruited, they're going to have a higher chance of getting recruited. And that's why, you know, I think personally why we have 32 guys playing four-year ball this year that leads the country at a little mid-major type JUCO. So I'm going to keep doing my thing. I appreciate you. And look forward to seeing you this weekend. And thanks for having us in the Jamboree and speaking with the Rising Coaches podcast today.